HarperCollins presents A Deadly Trade by E.V. Seymour. Read by Ben Onwukwe. Chapter 1. Female blowflies consent the moment of death. I don't understand how this works, but like the blowfly, I had a premonition that the woman I'd come to kill was already dead. I sensed it from the moment I slipped into the darkened room. Yet I couldn't be certain. Senses alive, I crossed the floor without sound. Silence is important in this wicked game. And preparation. I'd memorized the precise location of the wardrobe and dressing table and the rocking chair that crouched in the corner. I charted the distance from the doorway to the bed, 4.87 meters. A man my height and build, with a smooth gait and a size 8 shoe, should cover it in less than 6 seconds. Basic law of motion. I had no fear of interruption. On entry, I'd double-locked the front door. The room was November cold. I could smell booze. Brandy, I guess. The faintest scent of expensive perfume almost entirely smothered. When watching her, I'd noticed the target appreciated expensive clothes, good quality shoes. She was particularly fond of a charcoal-coloured leather jacket. Personally, I never wear leather for a job. It makes too much noise. I'm a clean, crisply ironed, open-neck dress shirt with jeans and loafers kind of guy. When flush, I buy my suits from Cad and the Dandy, Canary Wharf. She lay on her back, one limp arm hanging down. Light from a fading 4 o'clock moon illuminated her face, neck, and the fleshy slope of her shoulders. I leaned over. My eyes are pretty quick at adjusting to night vision, and stretched out a hand towards her, the same hand that would have smothered and suffocated and extinguished life. The cool skin felt inert against the latex of the surgical glove. No breath, no movement, no pulse. Did I feel cheated? No. Was I angry? No way. I was confused and bunched up with alarm. I had been sent to kill her. Chances were so had someone else, and maybe they'd come for the same reason. Not easily fazed, something coiled slowly in the pit of my stomach. I crouched down beside her. In death, she neither looked serene nor at peace. Her mouth was ajar as if she were mid-snore. Marionette lines ran from each corner to her chin like two deep incisions. The blonde hair splayed across the pillow, dark at the roots, indicated a woman who once cared about her appearance but had lost interest. To establish the rigidity of her flesh, I touched her mouth and jaw. There was some stiffness, but not much. There were no visible signs of violence that I could see, no vomit or bruises, no broken nails, no lacerations. I suppressed an involuntary shudder, an earlier memory threatening to erupt. This was now, I reminded myself, not then, not with the blood on the wall, and part of me wondered if by strange coincidence she died from natural causes. Unusual, not impossible, but as a general rule, people in middle age don't succumb with the same unexpected haste as those in the first flush of fickle youth. There was, of course, another possibility. I took out a pocket torch, slid open the drawer of the bedside table, and found a pack of temazepam, commonly used to treat those with a history of severe depression. The pills are seldom prescribed for insomnia, although many insomniacs take them. Habit-forming and potentially dangerous. When mixed in large enough quantities with alcohol and other medications, they can kill you. Had she taken her own life? I checked out the blister pack and saw that only 3 were missing. Not suicide, then. A glance at my watch told me that 95 seconds had passed, 85 to go. Ideally, I like to be in and out within 3 minutes. Moving noiselessly across the floor,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?